You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Some of us are old enough to remember when television was still worth watching, before it got violent and ignorant. Back in the good old days, there were a few good programs on that were wholesome and entertaining, and we all had our favorites in those days. One of my favorites was the African-American comedian Flip Wilson. Some of you remember Flip. He could do different persons, characters, both male and female. And the thing I liked about him the most, when he hurt somebody's feelings or pulled a trick on somebody, he would pause, look into the camera, and wink his eye and say, "The devil made me do that." Well, we just got through hearing from the devil quite a bit here this morning. And I need to tell you right out front that when I give a lot of talks around to different prison chaplains and ministers doing our ministry, I always start out by driving out the devil. That's called an exorcism in plain, simple language. And I always figure if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. You got to get evil swept aside and out of the way. Otherwise, you're never going to make any progress whatsoever in anything spiritual, either in your own life or anybody else's for that matter. So when I give talks to prison chaplains, I always tell them, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to drive out three devils that are possessing all of us. And I wish I had you here all day today, like at a Baptist church. I'd take all day and explain this to you. But I can't. I got to shorten this up a little bit because we got stuff going on here. But the three devils that I drive out, just to mention them quickly, I say, you got one in your head. That's called dualism. That dangerous devil that makes you think everything's either or and you don't have any both and mystery to work with. The second devil I drive out is in your heart. And it's got the name called sacrifice, which sounds so holy and good, but it can be a devil at the same time. I'm going to come back to that one today. And then the third one is the devil you got in your hands, and it's called control. You got to manipulate and engineer everything. And it's just a great exercise because people often don't realize that when you're going to set out for doing something for God in the church, you got to get your demons exercised before you're any good at all to anybody. And so I just mentioned that. But anyway, here we are, Jesus, baptized in the Jordan River. He doesn't just go charging into his ministry. He spends 40 days, his own Lent, his own retreat, getting himself together, contending with the devil. And this little drama that St. Luke unfolds before us takes place where they're firing scripture quotes back and forth and everything else. First off, it doesn't make any difference whether you think of the devil as some kind of a spirit with horns and a tail running around. That's kind of weird, actually. It means the same thing as evil. Just take the D off the front, and we're talking about the same thing. Jesus was contending with evil, and he was being tempted to shortchange his role as the Son of God. And I just love the conversations that Luke invents to tell this story. I always figure sometimes the sacred writers leave out some good lines. If I'd been writing it, you know that third temptation where the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on the top of the temple and wanted him to jump off? You know what the devil really said? He says, step right over here to the edge, Jesus. You're going to be the world's first bungee jumper. Appealing to his need to have popular appeal, put on a good show. But I don't know if the devil really said that, but I think he did. Jesus dealt with all those various temptations, and then after that, he went into his public ministry. So I think there's a good reason why the church always on the first Sunday of Lent gives us one of the four Gospels telling us about the temptations of Jesus. For the very simple reason that each and every one of us undergoes temptations also. And we know that, but sometimes we need to be reminded about having a good strategy about that. So let's talk first of all just about temptation, evil. Doesn't matter if you call it a devil or you call it evil, it's all the same thing. And we have to contend with it. It's all over the place. It comes to us through our media, and you almost can't find any place in this world to be out of the sight of the devil. So we got to identify the enemy. First of all, temptations are real, and they are very enticing. They always present themselves as good and desirable. And I'm going to give you an example with one in just a minute. But that's the awful lie that is told to us. Do this and you will have power. Do this and you will have happiness in one thing or another. Temptations are always bold-faced lies, and they are presented as good and desirable. And then, after you make an initial attempt to resist temptation, the devil, like any good negotiator, says, well, let's make a deal here. Just give in partially. It won't hurt anything. Negotiate and sell out. Shortchange your role. Remember the story in literature of Dr. Faustus, who sold his soul to the devil and lived to regret it? That negotiation stage always happens too. Once you make the initial attempt to resist temptation, then comes that sneaky little part. Well, let's make a deal here. Just give in a little bit. Won't hurt nothing. Who's going to know? And we got to be on guard against that as well. And then finally, I hope you caught the very last sentence that St. Luke said here. After the devil tried three times and failed with Jesus, it says, he departed from him for a time. Three words, for a time. Temptation always comes back. You might put the devil to flight one day, the devil will be back the next. Promise you. So those are some simple things that we need to call to our attention as we begin this holy season of Lent. I want to say something about sacrifice, which is the second of the three devils I drive out. Now, first of all, what could sound more holy than sacrifice? I mean, we say that word probably 20 times during Mass, every time we say the Eucharistic prayer. Sounds so holy and nice. And in a certain sense, it is, but there's a shadow side to sacrifice that we got to be so careful about. I'm thinking of the second reading when we get to the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday night. Remember when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, thinking that was God's will, and God intervened and said, stop, Abraham, we don't do this in my house. God came out right out at the front end and said, human sacrifice is not part of the kingdom of God. Now, God put up with animal sacrifices for 1,000 years, and over again, if you look closely in the Old Testament, God said, I'm tired of all this bloodshed, even of animals. The sacrifice I want is a heart contrite and holy, not all this suffering and killing going on. And Jesus, expressed the same thing. Remember when he cleaned out the temple, went in there with his court and threw out all the people with their animals and stuff? He says, we're through with this kind of religion, this sacrificing all over the place. And if you read the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, read it carefully, it says that Jesus Christ on the altar of the cross offered himself as a sacrifice once and for all. In other words, when we use the word sacrifice in our prayers and masses and everything else, we are not sacrificing Jesus all over again. It's quite clear. Jesus did that once and for all, and it is made present to us. But a spiritual writer I read one time said, Jesus came not to perpetuate sacrifice, but to put an end to that practice. And it's a wholesome meditation for us to make because it sounds so good. It sounds so pious and holy. And it's a heathen custom. And what have we done? Well, we gave up on crucifying years ago. That was a little bit too gross. But we've got other ways of sacrificing human beings that go on to this day. We have people that we marginalize and push to the edge of society. And in effect, we offer human sacrifice so that they can stoke our economy and keep our way of life going. So there's a serious message here, and that's what I'm usually trying to get at. It's a little hard to explain to people because we by God, we celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass. But you gotta be careful how you understand that. Pope Francis is so good at leading us on the right path as a leader in our church. He is asking us to end vengeance and retribution and to seek mercy and healing for ourselves and for all the world. Right now, Pope Francis is down in Mexico, where people are being sacrificed by the hundreds of thousands in these drug wars and things. And somebody has got to take a moral stand and say, this sacrifice of God's people must come to an end. It takes courage because there's a whole lot of people whose way of life and economy depends on sacrifice. So there's a good, healthy meditation for us here today. I wish I could go on all day. I mean, I might too.